Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight on Sword and Sandal Cinema, I'm proud to bring you an episode in which we're going to honor the torchbearers of Sword and Sandal Cinema. We're going to explore our mutual quest for the Golden Fleece, which in this case is optimal wellness, and you'll get to know our hosts a little bit better. Today's show is dedicated to the memory of Nigel Green. Nigel Green? Yes, I know. Unlike most of the actors that portrayed Hercules during the heyday of the Sword and Sandal era, Nigel Green was not a bodybuilder, nor was he remotely in his prime. And yet, he pulled it off. His commanding presence, over-the-top performance, and total immersion into the role made him a convincing son of Zeus in the 1963 motion picture Jason and the Argonauts. His distinctive and unique interpretation of Hercules remains one of my favorites even now, over half a century later. There's a powerful lesson in this, and it speaks to me quite clearly. In my personal vision, I experienced myself as Hercules, a Hercules that was no longer young, yet I still sounded the horn of summoning and accepted my Olympian mission. In honor of Nigel Green and what he taught me, I will integrate more systems of strength building beyond the physical into our collective mutual journey of building for ourselves a mythic physique. Now, I promised on tonight's show that I would share a little bit about what's in my library that focuses me on my quest for a mythic physique. So I will start with Retro Stud. Nearly two decades ago, my wife Athena gifted me with Retro Stud, a hardcover book by David Chapman that celebrates muscle movie posters worldwide. It's a wonderful book, garishly colorful, atmospheric and evocative, full of historical tidbits, a worthy tribute to the peplum era I love so much. Thank you once again, oh wonderful wife. I read it again and again and enjoyed each rereading. And yes, I must admit that oftentimes I just skimmed through the pictures. As I absorbed the book, one of the realizations that struck me is how interchangeable the protagonists of Muscle Man films truly are. These movies were marketed under different names to different countries. For instance, Hercules could also be, or may originally have been, Machiste, Goliath, Samson, Ursus, Atlas, and so forth. This demystified the syncretic viewpoint of the ancients for me and rendered it intelligible. It is not so difficult to imagine that something very similar happened in antiquity. I've since given copies of this tome to other peplum enthusiasts and have even included copies as giveaway tomes for some of our optimal wellness activities. I'll close with a trivia point and then we'll proceed with our program. Though the earliest flick in this genre goes back to 1914, 1959, the year both Athena and I were born, is considered to be the dawn of the peplum renaissance. Considering the pivotal role these flicks played in my life, I am greatly honored by this and strengthened by it. And now onwards to our first two Argonauts, Ron Carson and Andrea Tutrani. Greetings and welcome, Argonauts. How are you?
Good evening, cousin. Good. How are you?
Doing
is Sweetums
well?
In the house?
Fantastic.
Sweetums is in the house? I'm in the dark, but I'm in the house.
Okay. That is a good thing, I guess. Today's show is a little bit different than our other shows. So we've been doing these shows now for quite a few years, some as long as like 6 or 7 years. So I figured it was time for our new audience to meet our hosts and learn a little bit more about them. But also at the same time, everyone is involved in some form or fashion with becoming optimally well. So we have a system in place. We have Argonauts, and then we have mentors who are helping the Argonauts, and we have champions of Olympus who are helping people outside of their immediate circles. So today we have a champion of Olympus, we have an Argonaut, and we have a mentor. So that's going to be today's show. Plus, I have books in my bodybuilding library, which are very peplum-heavy, and I'll be sharing from those as well to fit in with the theme of our show. Now, Ron, we're cousins. We grew up together. The peplum movies inspired me to work out, and now currently you're on a plan of health. Are you using the peplum movies to inspire you in any way?
In a way, I'm pretty much inspired by the content of the cinematic genre in more ways than one. But more ways than one, I'm trying to get myself back into a sense of normalcy here when it comes to my weight. And I'm making very good progress, although last month wasn't as productive as the previous month when it came to me losing weight, but we're making the adjustments as necessary, and I definitely have Andrea over here as my partner in arms, my mentor, my guide to help me through this chapter of my life, and I'm duly grateful to her for taking the time to pretty much oversee this and make this a success.
And it sounds like you are being successful. When I saw you last, and I don't see you as often since the pandemic started, it looked
right.
Like you had lost weight. I believe you said it was 10 pounds that you had lost between the times I'd seen you. So you are
mm-hmm.
making improvements. So, Andrea, how about you? You're into fitness. How did you get involved with fitness? And do movies inspire you in any way to get fit or remain fit?
Well, yeah. I can't, you know, I can't honestly say that movies in itself inspire me, but I do enjoy watching movies that pertain to athletics and the things where people actually are doing things to take care of their bodies, especially now. Let me jump back briefly and say how I got into fitness. And it's actually very funny because having a brother who is 7 years older than me and who is a sports fanatic, I can remember as young as I was 5 years old, and Ron has seen a picture of me when I was five wearing a catcher's mask and a baseball mitt. So I have no choice but to be involved in some kind of sports athletics, having a wonderful big brother who helped me through that. And throughout the years, I've always been active. I was active in high school. I used to run track in high school. When I got to Queens College, I became a fencer, which was really what I always wanted to do as a child. Fencing fascinated me. And then from then on, it just, it's always been a big part of my life to make sure I move my body and to stay fit. As far as movies, I can't actually say that I've had any specific movie that I follow that's a wow, because of that movie I've become fit. But I do enjoy watching movies that pertain to people in good health, and I watch a lot of documentaries on fitness and eating habits right now, and that's what I'm trying to help Ron with. Trying to help Ron with understanding that this is a a lifestyle change, not just a quote unquote diet that we are on. So, yeah, I'm assuming that watching, especially the movie that we chose, Hercules and the Black Pirates, I actually noticed that all of the shirtless men all have these very buff bodies and pretty good spray tans for back in the 60s. But all these actors are quite fit. And, yeah, I see that the entire genre of Peplum films, so
yeah.
I did find that quite interesting. Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had several body types throughout my life. I've been very light as a kid. I got heavy a few times in my life, but I've pretty much, for much of my sojourn, I've maintained the physique that I have now. And I'm also very heavily into fitness. I work out over an hour a day, and I plan on taking 0 days off because I know that life sometimes throws you curveballs, so I wind up having to take a day or two off here and there. But I aim for every day, and I know that when I miss a workout, I feel really bad about it. I feel agitated, and you know, I feel like I've missed something very important. The movies, they remind me of my initial attraction to the concept of fitness. When I was young, my father had the Charles Atlas course. and I read comic books for the ads there.
I remember that.
So that too inspired me, and I eventually did some work with, and then some work for, and became friends with the folks at Charles Atlas. So that path was something really great. And it's the same with the Peplum movies. They reminded me of the ideal. I've never looked for like a really heavy bodybuilder physique like they have now. I like the ideal that you pointed out, the muscular, lean, and strong. It's always inspired me. And Ron and I used to watch those movies on TV, and when they came to the movie houses that were in our area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Andrea, you gave me an update that Ron has been reading labels more, and how's that coming along?
One of the things that I am trying to help Ron with, which sometimes is difficult. People get into such a habit of eating food, comfort food, and they don't understand that the comfort food is what got them in position they're in at this point. So that's why I say it's a lifestyle change. It's not just, I'm going to go on a diet and lose 20 pounds and then I can start eating what I was eating before. No, basically you can't eat what you ate before ever again, or in moderation. But what I've told Ron is I'm trying to help him with realizing how much fresh food adds to a healthy mind and body, and that processed foods and canned foods are definitely a no-no. And Ron has now become aware, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ron, at understanding what the contents are in a canned vegetable or fruit rather than a fresh vegetable or fruit. So, Ron, I think you've finally come to the point where you are reading labels and are realizing mm-hmm. the difference. Am I correct?
You are 100% correct on that, Sweetums. Absolutely. And I have gotten into the habit of reading labels, and some of it is pretty hair-raising, if you ask me. But you'll be proud of the dinner that I had today, because I had a serving of bird's eye mixed vegetables with chicken, and included in the mix was carrots and broccoli.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you are also finally realizing that some of the prejudices you had in the past, you're overcoming those prejudices against certain foods. Am I correct? You've decided that
slowly but surely, yes.
Not as bad. Not as bad as they used to be. But
slowly but
it's
surely.
Very important.
I'm climbing the ladder in baby steps, so to speak.
That's correct, and that's good, because if you take giant steps, you can fall back easily. The baby steps are better. But
that happened to me before.
Hercules, I always
remember,
even with Ron, not just Ron, but with a lot of people that ask me, you know, for your age, you're in good shape, you're good and stuff like this. Well, I also, like you, go to the gym, and it's not just a physical thing, it's also a mental thing.
Yes.
It's my escape, and I put on my music, and I turn life off for an hour and a half or so and enjoy my gym time like that. But I always joke with Ron of people, and I say, listen, there's two secrets to losing weight and getting healthy, and Ron will laugh. Close your mouth and move your body.
There you go.
Basically, that's what it is.
Well, you'll be proud of me in one thing, Sweetums, because I walked today because I had to run errands at work and go to the bank on Main Street here in Great Barrington, and I actually did a little bit of walking before I went to my doctor's appointment this afternoon.
Very good, and that's very important. You know, everybody thinks that, but I don't like the gym, or I can't lift weights. And, you know, you don't have to lift weights or you can go to the gym, and Hercules, you know that. Walking is a great exercise. Just walk. You know, and
so I took advantage of the walking today, for sure.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. And for those of you who live in cold climates where you can't walk several months of the year, walk through the house or walk up and down a flight of stairs. If you have to go upstairs for something, make that trip twice. Add an extra flight, and every little bit helps. Every little bit helps. So moving your body is definitely very important, along with watching your diet.
And
so
I'm making
some sort of progress.
There are easy ways to start it. There are
progress.
Like chair aerobics and basic movement. And I can definitely help with that, Ron. I can give you some DVDs for those things. But that doesn't need to be difficult to transition into. You can do it while sitting at your desk at work, some exercise. And then your body's used to it and you could progress to something more.
Okay, that's duly noted, cuz. And, excuse me, and the bottom line is that, I'm making these adjustments on a, snail's pace, but it's still being done. That's my thought. And like I said, as much as Andrea is doing all her part to help me out, and it's highly appreciated, I'm still, taking her advice and doing the right thing. Like, I had my dinner just now before I called in. And I'm full for the rest of the night. I'm not going to snack. I'm not going to eat anything else. I mean, I had the proper assortment of things in that bird's eye, mixed vegetables meal, and everything turned out to be perfect, so to speak. So I'm pretty much set for the evening. I did cut down on the excessive snacking, though, because I used to do that quite a bit at work.
I remember that. And now if you do snack, you snack on healthy things like almonds or nuts or carrot sticks or something like that.
Correct.
Which is
correct.
A major improvement. Major improvement. That's good. But portion control also is important. Where right now, Ron and I are working on portion control, which is a major part of the need to eat the right kind of food, but eat the right amount of the right kind of food.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, that's always been my weakness, the portion control, because I always like to fill up my plate and I always like to pretty much have it to the max. But I've slowly but surely adapted to that as well in more ways than one. So I'm to the point where, like I said, since Hercules has seen me in December, I dropped another 6 pounds, let you know.
Awesome.
Yeah. But I could have done better. On my last weigh-in when I went for my checkup, instead of only losing 1 pound, I could have lost another two or three or four maybe, but it didn't happen. So we're going to work on that for the next month. So
I'm going to share a little secret with you, too, about weight. Once you start exercising, the weight loss is useful for you now, but if you start getting into exercise a lot, muscle weighs more than fat. So it's going to seem very frustrating because you're not losing pounds on the scale. But all you need to do is find a new way to measure your progress, like with a tape measure or with calipers, both of which are very inexpensive. But you're not there yet. But every technique you use to measure progress, it has its pluses for a while. And then like everything else, you know, when you're reaching a plateau, you need to think everything through.
That's right. Also, just by the way your clothes fit, Ron said he was able to fit into a pair of pants he hasn't fit into in a while. So that's
awesome.
Progress.
Yes. The only problem that I didn't have a button to button the pants. That's the fly in the ointment on that one.
Go ahead.
But I wish that I did have the button because it's a pair of jeans and I haven't worn jeans in quite a while. And I would have loved to have just, slipped that, pair of pants without any problem whatsoever because about a month or two ago I couldn't fit into those pants. And I tried, and then when I tried fitting into them, the only thing that was missing was the button to fasten them. And I'm so afraid to just put the belt on because I still don't want my jeans to fall down on you. you know the result after that. So, but I am making some small progress slowly but surely. And I'm at least confident that I'm getting to the level where I'm not eating like I used to. That's the safe bet. I'm not eating the wrong foods anymore right now.
That's
I'm pretty much sticking with the, Andrea just recently messaged me a 1,200 calorie a day diet, which I'm going to start when the new month occurs in February. And I'm going to stick to that for the rest of the month, and I'm sure this will yield results even further.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure as well, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sweetums. Go ahead.
One of Ron's issues is he either has no place to actually prepare food, or he does not like to cook or does not know how to cook. Being Italian.
All right, you let the cat out of the bag right now.
but I told Ron, and this is good for some of your listeners, because there's a lot of people, Ron, that really don't like to cook, and that's why takeout and fast food has created this issue worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are willing to cook healthy meals at a small price. You know, they'll go shopping for you, or you tell them what menu you'd like, be it a weekly menu. And
right.
for small extra dollars, they will actually cook three meals for you a day. I don't mean you, hypothetically you in general, general public. So that's something that, you could hunt around. And for your listeners also, Hercules, that if anyone out there knows someone who needs help, maybe they'd like to volunteer to cook for them. Since I'm a cook, I gladly cook what I have extra. I'll bring it to work and give to the people I work with. Just because it's, I give them some different kind of food. Being an Italian and also being a vegetarian vegan, there's a lot of things that people, they have a prejudice. Oh, well, how can you just eat salad all the time? No, we don't eat salad all the time. Us vegans and vegetarians are very, very versatile in the things we eat and cook.
Yes.
So a lot of people are misled by that. They feel that vegan food is, I don't want to eat vegan food. I need a steak or something like that. So I do bring some of the vegetable dishes that I make at home into my coworkers, and they go, wow, that's really excellent. So if there are people out there who would like to help out with cooking for people who are trying to control their weight and their health, I would recommend it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing for sure. When you posted that pasta dish on Facebook a couple of days ago on our honeymooners group, my goodness, I was drooling. I said to myself, God, would I wish you would farm some of that up in the States to me.
Because
that looked awesome.
Well, like I told you, I'm the 20-minute chef. Everything I cook takes 20 minutes, and you can do it too. You can do it too.
Well, like
on
I
that,
said,
on that note, I have to
you're in one part of the globe. I'm in the other part of the globe. That's the problem.
Right.
That, I mean, if you were overseeing me, I think I'd be following this regimen a lot more tighter, if you get my drift,
probably.
You know?
On that note,
absolutely.
On that note, we have to take a very brief break. I promised to share certain thoughts, so I need to watch the clock and share my next thought. Michael H. Brown's The Strength of Samson, How to Attain It, isn't the type of book you can read through once then personally and permanently house it on the shelf. It doesn't promote a specific exercise system, nor does it persuade you to narrow your approach to conform to a fitness author's pet theories. Strength of Samson is much more than that. It is the distilled wisdom and experience of a lifelong weightlifter and overall athlete. It is also an invitation to tinker with what you've learned once you've mastered the simple but not easy basics of the Iron Game. There's a lot to digest in this tome, no pun intended. I read the book twice before I began experimenting with the wealth of advice and information contained therein. Some of Mike's suggestions work really well for me, such as his routine for maximizing the effectiveness of deep breathing squats. Others didn't. For example, consuming lots of milk and oranges. However, after nearly 6 months of experimentation and several readings, there's still a lot in its spiral-bound pages for me to try out. Working alone in my home gym, I found that the Strength of Samson has taken the honored place of my once-upon-a-time gym buddies, offering encouragement and advice while cutting right through the excuses and other BS. Michael H. Brown doesn't mince words. He's adamant that the Iron Game shouldn't just be about working out to get pretty muscles. Throughout the tome, Mr. Brown removes the feats of Samson from the realm of myth and demonstrates how a dedicated lifter, by adding some cable workouts to the routine, can duplicate the same stunts as the biblical strongman. And yes, this includes tearing apart a young lion and toppling an ancient temple. There's a lot of information on biblical eating with a special focus on the Levitical and Nazirite diets. Though I have experimented with ancient dietary practices before, I've gained many new insights and techniques from studying the strength of Samson. This book appeals to me on a variety of levels. Heroic living, mythic strength training, and diets from long ago have always fascinated me. Applied spirituality is another biggie. The conversational writing style and many anecdotes are extremely appealing, making for a great read and then reread. Last but not least, though we only mentioned it in passing, the author has also put two and two together about the presence of advanced technology in ancient times, including by the angel who appeared to Samson's parents and prophesied his birth and his role in lifting the Philistine oppression. But that's the topic for another show, Hercules and the Space Gods, which is on another day. And now back to Andrea and Ron and their quest for the Golden Fleece. Greetings and welcome back.
Greetings again, Kaz, and what a great infomercial that was.
Yeah, that was fabulous. Wonderful. Excellent.
Well, it wasn't really an infomercial. One of our hosts, Bill Hinberg, he has the book as part of his catalog, and I read the book. I thought a lot of it. And today, to further tie it to Sword and Sandal Cinema, I share my impressions of some of the books that do both. They encourage working out in good health, and at the same time, they help promote what our hosts are doing.
Wonderful.
Well done. Yeah. Well done.
Oh, okay.
That sounds like one of your dogs out there in the background.
Yeah, there's some other dog walking out on the street or something like that, so she feels the need to bark or howl.
Well, in the meantime, Angel Cake is doing this show with a flashlight in her hands.
Yeah, I have my candlelight tonight. I'm having an electrical issue in my house. Yeah, I've been having an electrical. It's a very, very old house, and I've been having an electrical issue for the past, I don't know, a couple of years. And the lights have been flickering a lot within the past 2 months. So I came home tonight, and I'm in the dark. So I had a feeling that one of these days, these lights are just going to go out completely. And tonight was the night, so I'm sitting here in the dark by candlelight, but it's not the first time. You know, every time there's a hurricane, we go through the same thing, so I'm used to it.
See what happens when you don't pay Mr. Johnson the $5 rent increase?
That's right. Fortunately, I have enough charge in my phone to make this phone call, so
yes.
At least that worked out okay.
The general. The general.
So I already have the electrician coming tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. and to see how we can remedy this situation before I go away on Thursday night. So we hopefully will be successful.
Yes, and Andrea and I are meeting up in Florida, God willing, if the weather doesn't mess up my plans with this impending storm that's supposed to hit the Northeast over the weekend. I'm in pins and needles on this one for sure.
No, you'll be fine. You'll be going south away from the storm. Planes have flown in worse conditions. So don't worry about it. And fortunately, since you're going national, not like me is going international, there are other planes and other options if your actual flight gets delayed or canceled. Whereas I'm going international, so it's a lot more difficult. But I'm coming right from the Cancun airport, so I won't have any issues. But don't worry about it, and you'll be fine. You'll get there eventually.
Yeah, because I'm looking forward to my weekend of power walking down there in the sunshine. That's why.
But let me tell you something. They predict 39 degrees the night of the 30th, the night of the concert. So it's going to be pretty cold down there.
You know something? 39 degrees to me is a heat wave because it's already almost down to 10 degrees right now as we speak here in the Berkshires.
Wow.
We're supposed to go below zero again tonight.
Wow. Well,
so I will welcome a 39-degree night for sure.
Yeah, and for me, that's way too cold. But you know what? We'll manage. It's only going to be for a couple of
But I've been in contact with some of my reliable weather sources from the area, and they pretty much have been telling me that it's not going to start till late Friday night into Saturday. Saturday's the bullseye day for the storm, and by that time I will already hopefully be down south. So
you will.
I know. With with Godspeed, so to speak, Sweetums, because I'm looking
right,
forward to, you know, gigging away. And then later on, we got the big concert on Sunday night, too.
Yes, looking forward to that. Looking forward to that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean,
good.
ELP and Legacy Band with Alan Parsons also. How can you go wrong with
right,
that one, for sure?
And we're going to do some healthy eating. We're gonna do
yes, we
eating.
Are, along with the power
right.
walking, too.
That's right.
Because
I'm looking forward to that also.
You've been to Lauderdale numerous times, so you have to show me around. This is going to be my first time in that neck of the woods, because the only time I've gone to Florida is in the West Coast near the Gulf. I've never gone on the East Coast where the Atlantic meets. So this is going to be a treat. And Fort Lauderdale has a special meaning. It's got a special meaning because, you know, my dear friend and mentor, Dan Ingram from WABC, when he retired, he moved to Fort Lauderdale.
Well, it's a beautiful place. You will truly enjoy it. It's a beautiful place. It's my most favorite city in the U.S., and I'm from New York, which is the greatest city in the world. But I really love Fort Lauderdale. It's electric.
Well, I'm sure Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is in the mix as well, too.
Philly's fun. Philly's fun, but it's certainly not Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, yeah, I know. Because yeah. In Fort Lauderdale, it doesn't get as cold as in Philly or in New York, you know, so that's the whole
that's
thing
right,
on that
that's
one.
Right.
But the I know we got to wrap up soon, guys, but in closing, what I want to say is that, you know, with Andrea as my mentor and my guide through this lifestyle change plan, I'm pretty much very, very grateful and appreciative to her for taking the time and helping me through this situation where I won't have to fall back on it again down the road. So once I lose the weight gets lost. But, you know, it's
that's
still
right.
The managing the specifics and the building blocks of all this to kind of like get this back on track. And, you know, I'm a slow learner when it's coming to this right now. But at least task at hand is getting done.
At least you're learning and you're making progress and you've dedicated yourself to it. Now, you're right. We are approaching the end of today's segment. And I'd love for you guys to give some closing thoughts on your quest for the Golden Fleece that is representative of Optimal Wellness, and also to share your contact information.
All right. Well, ladies first, of course.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Well, what I would suggest to your listeners is it's never too late to start working on yourself and your own wellness, whether it's physical, mental, whatever. You need to find something that makes you happy, that when you're doing it, you don't feel like it's a task. It has to be fun. If we're talking as far as exercise, find something you like to do. It doesn't have to be in the gym. It doesn't have to be running. For example, I can't run because I have a bad back, but I do enjoy lifting weights. I do enjoy walking. So find something that makes you happy, but do something. Move your body is very important. And as far as eating, not everyone is a vegan or a vegetarian, but eat cautiously. Read labels. Make sure you, if you have difficulty in finding the right kind of food, ask people. Say, you know, what do you recommend? You look so fit, or I see that you eat healthy. What can you recommend? All we do, for those of us who are already at a point where we take care of ourselves maybe a little bit more than others, we can give you the tools to work with, but you have to apply them. So ask people, what kind of tools do you have that I can work with? And, so that's it. Whatever you need to do to get you in a better place is very important. And I'm always here to help out. Anyone is welcome to contact me and ask me for my suggestions. It would be an absolute pleasure to help not only Ron, but everyone else looking for the quest for wellness. And I can be reached at Facebook at Andrea Tutrani. And I'm the only Andrea Tutrani. You will find other Tutranis, which are my beautiful nieces. But just look to Andrea and feel free to send me a message. I'll be glad to help out. So there you go.
Thank you so very much. Thank you. That is awesome. I hereby name you a torchbearer of Mount Olympus for your contribution to our Sword and Sandal Cinema program, and also a
thank
mentor
you.
On our quest for
I'm
the Golden
honored.
Fleece. And now,
I'm
Ron,
honored. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm going to make this quick because I want to also acknowledge the fact that what Andrea said, I'm going to double because of the fact that she has given me the tools in order to make this important lifestyle change. And as I said, I am just so, so grateful to have her in my corner. And she is a mentor. She's a dear, dear friend. And she's just so sweet to me. And I even know we're different countries over here, we still establish the realm of communication and we're able to bounce off and coordinate on this. And I have made the proper lifestyle changes that I'm supposed to do, except it's going to take a little bit of time until I get to the intended goal. Now, like I said earlier, I did a little walking today in town on Main Street here in Great Barrington, where I had to run some errands for the radio station, did some banking, and then later on I wound up having a nice, decent bird's eye frozen meal with everything included that I needed, including chicken and mixed vegetables, you know, the carrots, broccoli, and whatever else was in there, I'm not sure. But the bottom line is that without Andrea's help, I probably would not be where I am right now. And for that, I am forever grateful to her. And that's why she is my angel cake in more ways than one. Mwah.
Awesome. Oh, well, thank you so
and
much.
How can people contact you, Ron?
Very quickly, you can listen to my radio show, WSBS.com, on the website. Get the free WSBS app or a smart speaker device. We have instructions on the website. If you're within the sound of my area in western Massachusetts, northwestern Connecticut, or eastern New York, 860 AM, 94.1 FM. And I am on Facebook. My hours are weekdays 10 to 3 with Saturday mornings. But after Thursday, I am on holiday until I come back from Florida with my look, which I'm looking forward to this trip, and with Godspeed, I can get down here in one good pace over here in more ways than one. But I also want to acknowledge you, my brother, because you have always been in my corner. I mean, I treat you more like a big brother than I am your cousin, because you and I have gone through a whole life together, and you've always been there for me, and vice versa. And I truly, truly embrace that with all my life in more ways than one. I love you both to the max, both of you. Mwah.
Love you too, cuz.
We love you too. We love you too, Ron. Really.
You.
And if you guys want to chat, I could put you in the chat room while I proceed with the show.
You got a few minutes, sweetums?
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. I still have some more charge on my phone, so I'm okay.
Okay.
All right, put us in the chat room because we got to discuss something here.
Thanks again.
Till next month when we go back, when we open up the Coliseum, Hercules and the Black Pirate. That's our feature film for February, gang. Kalinikta.
Yes.
Kalinikta.
You're
all looking forward to it.
Okay. Love you.
And onwards to our last review of a book and my thoughts on it. Now, this is for the Action Heroes Handbook. Let's face it, it's not enough to be muscular and strong. Those who strive to build a mythic physique truly wish, in their heart of hearts, to be real-life action heroes. Now that that's been said, what do we do about it? David and Joe Borgnich put together an amazing handbook just for people like us. In this tome, you can learn how to cultivate heroic good guy skills, such as catching a great white shark, tracking a dangerous fugitive, and negotiating a hostage crisis. Eerie paranormal skills, helpful in dealing with bothersome ETs and ghosts, as well as feats you may have considered fictional, such as the Jedi mind trick and Vulcan nerve pinch. Kick-ass fighting skills, how to take a hit with a chair, win a fight when outnumbered, and disarm a gun-toting thug. Stuntman-type escape skills, such as evading an MIG, crashing through a window, and escaping a sinking cruise ship. Wow, now I must master these skills, and so should you. Practicing many of these to gain mastery will prove to be a real challenge, but hey, if you're going to be in it, why not be in it all the way? Please note that the Action Heroes Handbook isn't a novelty joke, or so they tell us. Every scrap of information here is supposedly for real. And though you may never have the opportunity to fix a space shuttle on reentry or save the world from destruction, it's indeed good to know how to do such things, just in case, because you never know. And now we proceed with our program, and with Michael DelRussi, an awesome individual who, in addition to being an Argonaut and a torchbearer of sword and sandal cinema, is also a champion of Olympus. Greetings and welcome, Michael. How are you?
Good evening, Hercules. It's great to be with you, and I enjoyed listening to your guests this evening.
And it was great having you aboard for the whole thing. Now, we've spoken several times on the program and off the program about how sword and sandal cinema has inspired both of us in many ways, including physical fitness. It's been a while since you were interviewed about that, so let's do that tonight.
Well, my quest I'm calling my, with the help of the universe, the grace of the universe, moving forward into the balance of the year, I'm calling my quest for the Olympian mind. And for me, the sword and sandal films were remain very powerful, a very powerful vehicle for my life, both emotionally and physically. I've had some traumatic year, to say the least. And
yes.
I can tell you, when I arrived home from work this morning, I watched Samson with Brad Harris, and then I watched Hercules and the Captive Women with Reg Park. And these films not only awaken the hero in me and awaken the courage to move forward, but also bring me a curious sense of comfort. Because these films are what led me into the bodybuilding arena, and they were the vehicle. This is where the calling began. My school years were not very pleasant ones. I was a shy, quiet, demure teen, and I was the target of a variety of bullies in school. It was the sword and sandal films that inspired me to purchase my first set of weights. From then on, my quest began. Not only did the Olympian within me begin to emerge, but I found comfort and wonder in following and marveling at these classical heroes. So I can say that for me, the sword and sandal films of the 60s specifically were a vehicle and remain a vehicle to help me to get through my life in somewhat of a positive way. The magic has only grown. I'm not a big fan of some of the new peplum, as it were. I saw both Hercules films, the one with Dwayne Johnson, and I'm not familiar with the name of the other individual. Are you? There was another Hercules film that came out after the version with Dwayne Johnson. I don't remember that actor's name specifically, but neither film moved me. The sword and sandal classics of the 60s, the sword play was very authentic in almost all of the films. I just found the whole aura of the films more captivating back then. So I'm not a big fan of either the special effects or the new peplum of today. I'm sorry, but the peplum of the 60s is irreplaceable. I just thought that they were, quite frankly, the special effects in those days were actually more realistic. I think some of the computer graphics today are a bit too cartoonish. And for all the effort that's put into it, I think the 60s films had the advantage. So for me, the magic of the sword and sandal era was specifically during the decade of the 60s. And those films and the heroes in those films are what got me through that stage of my life and quite candidly are helping me even now. So for me, those films remain very powerful. The hero was the hero, the villain was the villain, and the physiques were all admirable in their own way. So for me, that era remains a very, very powerful vehicle. One of heroics, one of emotional support, And it will be that way for the rest of my days.
I feel exactly the same. And even though I enjoy Peplum on a variety of different levels, from the original myths to their archaeological antecedents to even the new Peplum, I have a special fondness for the Sword and Sandal cinema that was brought into existence during my youth. And that had the greatest formative influence on my life. And it's still something that fuels and inspires and motivates me. And not only the bodies, you know, to stay healthy and to build a mythic physique, but also the example of trying to do good in my community, trying to be the best that I can be, trying to grow through the obstacles that life invariably puts in your way, and just keep moving forward. So that's why we have Sword and Sandal cinema all the time, and not so much ancient mythology and so forth.
Well, I remember back, as I said, it was these films that led me into the world of physical fitness. These films inspired me and a few of my friends who felt the way I did to run down to the magazine store for bodybuilding publications. And we found Mr. America magazine with the first Mr. Olympia, Larry Scott, on the cover. And then we had Muscle Builder. We also had Muscular Development. But the Wiener magazines were very glossy, they were very commercial. But they are what really put bodybuilding on the map. But what led us to our first set of weights, if you will, and led us to those muscle magazines were the Sword and Sandal films.
Yes.
So for me, they were the powerful vehicle. They led me into the weightlifting arena, if you will. And from then on, we would sit at night and talk about the films, whether it be Reg Park, of course, Steve Reeves. And I had some personal favorites. Physique-wise, I liked Brad Harris. I thought Goliath Against the Giants had a little bit of everything in it.
Yes.
Mark Forrest was also one of my favorites. I think he had the best pecs in the business. I liked Son of Hercules Against the Mole Men. Alan Steele. Yes. Alan Steele is an all-time favorite as well. And the list goes on. A guy that I thought about today that I don't think is talked about as much as perhaps we talk about the rest of them, but a gentleman by the name of Dan Vadas.
Yes.
He made a movie with Alan Steele called The Rebel Gladiator, which I especially liked. Also, The Fury of Hercules with Brad Harris is another one of my favorites. You know, these films just had a magic that cannot be duplicated. So for me, again, they were the vehicle. They changed my life. Whatever good remains in my life, whatever good I can do for others in the world of physical fitness, in the world of nutrition, in the world of anti-aging techniques, it all started, it all began with the Sword and Sandal film. So for me, it was a heaven sent. These films were a heaven sent for me. And I have not outgrown any of them. They're still as powerful today as it were way back then in the 60s when I hung out with my friends in Irvington, New Jersey.
Wow. And your Olympian Mind, which is your new initiative, how does it fit into Bold Spirits Holistic Concepts? Is it an outgrowth of that? How does that work with your life mission?
Well, absolutely. I'm hoping, the God's willing, this coming year to talk about creative biology.
Okay.
I think that's very important. What is it exactly? For me, it's all about personal research. In other words, don't, you know, whatever your family physician may be telling you, whatever the specific specialty in their arena may be, always do your research. Engage in creative biology. Go to more than one source. I recently, and I'll talk about this further in the future, I recently came upon a married couple that they were following their doctor's instructions to take a larger amounts of vitamin D3. When the wife had her blood work done, she discovered that her calcium was very high. So the gentleman, this is a recent experience, asked me, Michael, is there anything we can do with it, for that? I said, well, I believe there is, and that is to add vitamin K2 to the program. Mm-hmm. Vitamin K2 helps the body not to leach calcium into the bloodstream. So I recommended either taking a combination supplement of vitamin K2 with vitamin D3 or take each one separately. I cannot recommend the specific amounts. That's something you have to follow the instructions on the supplements and your
right.
own research and intuition there, because it's, amounts are different for different people. But I can say this. Here's another example of the mainstream media only giving half the story. So hopefully from this moment forward in the future, I'm going to engage in creative biology and sharing it with the listening audience and encouraging them to do the same. It goes to several different areas of expertise.
That is awesome.
So that's one example. But again, it's always important. Unfortunately, the mass media never gives you the whole story. And so it's important, especially when you're talking about your health, nutritional supplementation, which I continue to believe is what keeps us going and has the potential to add quality years and quality days to our lives. Supplementing our diets with state-of-the-art nutrition, I think no matter how healthy our diets are, we can actually ward off certain degenerative diseases as well as calming systemic inflammation, which we know now is the source of most degenerative diseases, by utilizing specific supplements as well as an anti-inflammation diet, which is very important. So from this evening forward, the gods be willing, I hope to move forward with my own, seeking my own Olympian mind and encouraging the listeners to do this the same. Seek their Olympian minds, and that means expansion. Expansion of wisdom, expansion of inspiration, expansion of knowledge in this lifetime and hopefully in the next.
I too believe in cultivating the Olympian mind. I was creating a group called Olympian Mind, and I changed the name to make it more appealing, but it's, in terms of trying to attract an audience, the group's participation has been kind of slacking off lately, so I'm trying to, like, jazz up the titles. But I believe in cultivating not only the body, but cultivating the mind, cultivating the soul, cultivating the spirit. Just like I have routines for exercising the body, I also have things I do for my mind, for my soul, and for my spirit to boot. How do you cultivate your Olympian mind?
Well, I immediately go to some of the ancient philosophers that I enjoy, as well as there's two sources of study for me. One is the wisdom of the Christ. I believe mm-hmm. that Christ consciousness is more than a wisdom that's imbued in one individual, that being Yeshua. But I believe Christ consciousness is a field of wisdom that transcends all religions, all faiths, all practices. In the Greek, I believe it is the anointed one. And I think anointed thinking, or Christ consciousness, if you will, transcends all faiths, all mythological quests and beliefs. I think the source of all of that can be termed Christ consciousness, if you will. So for me, I like to read the wisdom. I like to read the wisdom of the Christ, as well as some of the wisdom of the Stoics, like Marcus Aurelius. I love the meditations of Marcus Aurelius. There's a lot of creative mind as well as logical mind within mm-hmm. those writings. So the meditations of Marcus Aurelius has always been one of my favorite sources of wisdom. And moving on from there, of course, I love Plato. I love reading Socrates. And those are basically my main sources of support. When I'm feeling a bit low or I'm confronting a challenge, I go to those sources. And they do lift me up and just make me feel better spiritually, psychologically as well. I'm going through a very hard time in my life right now, perhaps the toughest of my life. And I know that these giants in the world of Greek mythology, in the world of physical fitness, in the world of philosophy, are helping me to keep my head above water, if you will.
I also rely on Marcus Aurelius and some of the old philosophers. I rely on the Hermetic writings. Daily what I do, and I aim for twice daily, and again, like with working out, sometimes something interrupts this and I miss one or two of them a week, but I aim for twice daily. I meditate, I do affirmations, and I visualize. And I think I shared with you and with our listeners that one of my visualizations was inspired by Jack Kirby. He drew Asgard, he drew Olympus, he drew the new gods for DC and the Eternals for Marvel. So he did all these fantastical god realms in his comic books and created characters to populate them. So the type of gizmos and machines that he has in there that are very heavily inspired by ancient astronaut theories and lost civilization theories and, of course, his own imagination. I imagine machines like that that can, you know, basically accomplish the things that I'd like to accomplish, both in, you know, basically restoring my health, becoming healthier, and also looking the way I look. And that motivates me and it frees up my mind and my creative self. And of course, when I work out then and when I'm watching what I eat, these images are in my mind and I know what I'm working towards.
Well, I like when you brought up a Jack Kirby style. I know back then, well, I guess in the late 60s, I loved Thor. You know, as you know, he was a great artist and depicted Thor magnificently. And when he painted it, when he drew Asgard and some of these other mythical images, if you will, it was very inspiring. And I looked for muscular heroes back then. I love the Incredible Hulk because, well, obviously he was muscular to say the least and very powerful. And these comic characters also inspired me. And then the early versions, I have not been keeping up the way you have, but back when Marvel first introduced Hercules into the comic scene.
Yes.
I remember that way back when. That inspired me as well. But I love Jack Kirby's version. As far as I know, he was the only penciler of Thor at that time for the longest time. I loved his artistic interpretation of Thor and Asgard and the Rainbow Bridge, and it was just another world completely in terms of comics. And Marvel definitely broke ground back then. I mean, Marvel was indeed the forerunner of a lot of what we've seen since, as far as muscular and mythical heroes goes. So they were my inspiration. Mm-hmm.
Mine too. And I just was informed by the robot voice. We have around a minute and a half left. So if you can kindly share your contact information and to be continued.
Yes, they can write to me. Michael Dalresi, Box 129, Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. I have a magnificent creative health manual that's available for $3 a copy and provides a wonderful foundation for holistic healing, holistic health. Certain diets I recommend, and I think it will be useful to any reader who obtains a copy.
Thank you so very much, Michael. You're an awesome individual. I'm honored to call you a friend, and I'm glad that you're on these adventures with me. And I want to thank you for the generosity of your time and not only sharing your journey, but trying to help others along their journey.
You as well, Hercules. Thank you so much for having me.
And thanks to everybody who listened tonight, whether you called and you were in our queue, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you'll be checking us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And Michael, I'm proud to proclaim you a torchbearer of Sword and Sandal Cinema, as well as being an Argonaut and a champion of Olympus, which you are on because of your adventures thus far.
I am honored. Thank you so much.
Take care, my friend.
Bye-bye now.